Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
My last F-bomb. That's my last
why?
One. Let's people record like this thing.
Okay.
Yes.
Adam, take it from here. It's well, all you today.
It is on me. Everyone. It's been a holiday hiatus for us. I guess it's been, I don't know, like almost 2 weeks since we've recorded. It feels like an eternity. But what better to get back in the high-end content creator streets than having a wonderful guest here, Anna Bright. So happy to have you. What's going on?
Thank you. Hi, Adam. Hi, Rob. I'm stoked to be on. I was a little insulted you guys had James on first, but I'll try to one up him here.
That won't be hard.
Yes.
We'll see.
For sure.
As long as your Wi-Fi works, you already won.
Yeah. Well, all right. I hope it holds out.
No pressure.
So you said you got a little session in this morning. Who'd you hit it with?
I played with Anna Lee, and we're playing the Masters together. So we were practicing, and we played against Johnny Goldberg and Mircea Mirariu.
So you're playing the Masters together. Let's just get right into it. How many others are you playing together?
Go, Robert.
So we're playing. I think we have three together in the first 3 months. I'm basically calling it tryouts. Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure she's good enough for you. I get it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's it. And then we'll see. So I'm mostly planned out through 6 months, I think, on the women's side, and women's doubles I haven't talked to anyone who's planning out past the first 6 months. So we'll kind of see how things go.
Tryouts and the babiest of dills as well for mixed doubles at the Hyundai Masters. And is that a tryout type thing? I know you guys played a couple times or a few times last year, or is that something that's going to be pretty solid in 2023?
He's rattled.
So before the whole MLP PPA merger, before everything, so my APP slate was mostly with Dylan, and then I had a few with James, and then some other random ones. But then actually, Riley Newman asked me to play mixed in the PPAs, but I wasn't intending to sign with the PPA at this point. And so I said I can play like 14 or 15 PPAs, and I was going to just kind of have another hardcore year of playing both. But then with how everything is shaken out now that I have signed along with a lot of other people, so I've got this one with Dill, and then I'm with Riley the rest of the year, assuming all goes well. So a little unfortunate because I love playing with Dylan. We're like 5 for 5 medaling when we've played together, including my like third ever pro tournament in Delray Beach. She like carried me to a bronze here. But yeah, that's just kind of how the cookie crumbled. So it's unfortunate, but
yeah,
hopefully Dylan and I do well.
Yeah, lots of people in a similar situation. I don't think there's in any way to avoid it. It wasn't ideal, but that's kind of how it shook out. But so got some Anna Lee and got some Riley in there. Pretty reasonable partnerships. Not sure about a couple of the other ones that you have mixed in, but tell me just a little bit about your mindset, because we've talked about it on here as well, about when you are playing with someone of that caliber and what kind of mindset you have. Is it it's easy on court at times, but also there's some difficulties playing with someone, that is, that highly ranked. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't really know. I was actually talking to her today and I was like, I don't know how people are going to play against us. Are they going to hit me like 90% of the balls? Like kind of like how it is with Catherine and her mom. I just don't really know. And I don't know how I'll handle that. I mean, of course, when I first started playing with Jesse, like it was like that. I was seeing every single ball and I think I handled it decently well. So I don't really know. It's actually funny. The first time Anna Lee and I ever practiced together, it was after her mom got hurt. So usually her and her mom pretty much practice together. People come to them. They don't play with too many women. But we were like practicing together, and our first game together, like I was like spastic. I was like so nervous. I was, oh my God. I was just making so many mistakes. I don't really know. I think it'll be really, really interesting. I tend to play well under pressure. Like, of course, it's a lot of pressure playing with Anna Lee. Like anything less than winning is pretty much not a successful tournament at her level and her dominance. I do think that kind of dominance is going to get harder and harder. Like this year, you know, you just look at the field for the Masters and you still have some people not playing, like Andrea's not playing, Paris isn't playing, but it's still like so deep. I don't think there's going to be many, like you get to sleep until you hit the semis anymore in any event, but women's has historically, of course, been a little weaker. Then in mixed with Riley, you know, I think it's funny. I think I'm one of the, I actually asked Riley to play mixed when I was first talking with the PPA, was around like the time of Houston or South Carolina. It was just like a shot in the dark. It was like, why not just ask? And he'd never, we had never played against each other or anything. And he was just like, oh no, like, sorry. And I was like, yeah, okay. Like I figured I would ask. That might affect.
At least you responded. That's nice.
Yeah. That might affect a decision. But then in the Takea PPA, me and Dylan played against him and Lindsay. I can't say that we should have won, but we really had momentum and we were playing really well, but we ended up losing in three and then we beat them in the back draw. And just, we just had a good tournament in general. And then he asked me to play, cause I think I'm one of the few women that kind of, I can play both sides well in mixed because I've played so much with Tyler this year. Mm-hmm. So I think I kind of fit the bill a little bit for what he might've been looking for. So I'm really excited about that. We'll see. I don't really know how to play. I don't know if, because obviously him and Anna Lee just completely like kind of walked through nationals for the most part. They had some tight ones, I think, while they were figuring it out. But then, you know, you watch him play with Lindsay and it's like totally different. It's like, I can't, I'm not a resetter of that caliber. Because I don't really think anyone is, you know, when she's covering, like when she's planted, like the ball's coming back.
Yeah.
So I don't really know. And we haven't really talked, but I think we'll figure it out. We'll see.
Yeah. And it is, I think that flexibility helps a lot with Riley because he's so used to playing right with Lindsay often. So obviously he can play both sides, but to have that ability to where he's got the pancake in the middle on the left and then the big two hander in the middle when he's on the right, I think he's one of those guys that can play right in a fairly dominant fashion. So, no, you know what this sounds like, Anna? This sounds like when you threw out that shot in the dark to Riley just to see and he kind of shot you down, it kind of sounds like me asking you to play after you destroyed my wife at Punta Gorda last year. And you were just like, you were like, Adam, it's been a huge whirlwind. This is my first tournament. Let me get back to you and I'll let you know on that. And I never heard anything, Anna.
Well, you were injured. You didn't like beat me ever. That would have been a different story. It was insane though. I was like, I felt like the bell of the ball. I was getting so many texts.
Oh yes, no, for sure. Yes. It is cool to be in the cool kids club. And I think everyone who's made it to some substantial level in pickleball has kind of felt that way at some point when they burst on the scene. So and actually, Anna, I mean, you made a mistake. You could have been the if I wouldn't have got injured, you could have been the Beer City Open champion because we were scheduled to play Beer City last year. And of course, I had a little calf situation and passed you along to James. But that would have been a fun ride if we were able to do it. Oh, well,
we probably would have beaten Declan Meg Charity.
Oh, absolutely. There's no
probably
question.
So deep in his head. Like.
Yeah. Well, since you brought up Declan, I might as well talk about how the last time we played singles, I won. So that's cool. That's it. No, that's all I have to say. That's it. Let's move on to
next.
Okay. So let's see here. Okay. Yeah. Let's talk a little. Let's talk some just stuff about you for a few minutes before we get into more pickleball stuff. What was your kind of sports background growing up? Obviously, you have a great tennis pedigree. Were you, you know, a lot of people that played high level tennis, it was kind of, you know, you had a few people or some percentage of that player pool that was kind of the intense psycho. Tennis was your whole life. Was it a little more laid back with a variety of sports that you were growing up? Tell me a little bit about that.
It was pretty much psycho tennis is my whole life for a long time. So my dad walked on to like Tennessee Tech, small D1 school, but he was someone who started playing at like 14 or 15 and was just completely obsessed. Like kind of like how, you know, we are with pickleball, like shadow swings in the mirror, teaching himself. One of those. So then I'm the oldest. And there are photos of me like with like a racket at like two or three, like just like a yard from the net being dropped balls. So right. I pretty much say I got serious with tennis at six when I played my first tournament. And I set a couple records in Texas for youngest do a couple things. Like they've probably been broken by now, but just super obsessed. Family moved to Florida when I was like 12, largely for tennis. I was at the USTA for a couple years. So I was like that kind of prodigal status, I guess, when you're 12. But then I fractured my back, was out for a couple years. Not completely out, but completely, you know, playing for 6 months. And I wasn't. Yeah, that really burned me out. That took a toll on me. So then I went back into public school when I was latter half of eighth grade and did high school. And from there, it was much more chill. I did the high school tennis team thing. I played softball on like just a local league. I ran cross country. So then I had a pretty normal life, normal high school experience. I just also played a good amount of tennis, but we didn't really travel that much. Played like winter nationals in Arizona. It was like the only tournament I traveled for. I didn't even play Orange Bowl in Eddie Herr, like my last year. Sorry, people probably don't know what those are, but those are bigger international.
Yeah.
Once I went back into public school, things were chill and I was having more fun with it and still getting good results. Like when I played locally, plenty of good players here. Tennis was the whole life kind of until I got hurt, got burned out, you know, wasn't winning quite as much as I was used to.
Mm-hmm.
Always knew I wasn't going to go pro. I knew I didn't want that. I knew I didn't love tennis as much as some of my peers. You know, I always hoped it would rain. I hoped some godly event would happen so I didn't have to practice. You know, I think a lot of people thought that, but I kind of learned as I got older and on my college tennis team, like not everyone is like that. Like some people actually like wanted to play and I was like, oh,
yeah, I think it's a crazy, crazy percentage of people that play high level tennis have that love hate relationship with it. So kind of sounds like you had a mixture of some hardcore years and then some more balanced years when you were in high school. So that's very cool. So what happened with your back? Was this like a slow kind of grinding injury or was it like some like an actual event that happened that broke it?
It was a slow, grindy thing. You know, I was complaining of back pain and everyone, all the trainers thought it was muscular.
Mm.
But I took, so I was going to go play in Arizona, a big tournament. And I hadn't played any tennis for like 2 weeks prior to kind of rest the back. Then we went over there and practiced for one day. And then that night I was like in excruciating pain. I remember like really sad. Like I was like 13 years old and like screaming, like trying to move or get out of the bed. Or like my dad thought I should stretch. And I was like in so much pain. And so obviously I didn't play in the tournament. But we were like stuck in Arizona for a week. Like the flights were already booked and it was just so bad. It's like we were in the car and like my dad, you know, just going to a restaurant and he would be inside. And I was just like gradually like trying to get out and just work myself out. So yeah, then we got the MRI, like I had a pretty big fracture and I don't know which one. I don't really remember.
Metatarsal. We'll go with that. That's a finger. Metatarsal? Is that a finger?
Adam. I want to say it was L4.
Okay. Okay.
So that was a long recovery process and pretty sad, honestly, but all worked out for the best. I mean, I'm really happy with my life and stuff, but it was kind of a tough time for sure.
Yeah. So injuries suck. We all know that Robert knows about that. And that is too bad, especially at that age, you know, that's like something I should be dealing with now, back pain, not someone as a teenager. So,
same thing happened with Connor Garnett. I was just talking to him and
really?
Yeah. When he was playing junior tennis, he broke fractured his back as well. And it kind of derailed a lot of stuff, but
Joey Farias, similar situation, high level tennis player. So did you mention somewhere in there, Anna, that you were living in Texas before Florida?
Yes, I lived, born in Texas, lived there until I was 12.
Where?
Fort Worth.
Okay, cool. All right, awesome. Yeah, I'm a Texas boy. So that's cool. Did not know that. Excellent.
TCU's going down on Monday. They're Fort Worth, right? Is TCU in Fort Worth?
Yeah, they're playing Georgia, right?
Go Dogs.
Afraid. I think I'm going to have to root for.
Say it.
There, you can Anna, help. Right?
You want to do a little friendly
Drake
wager?
Wouldn't give me an offer. That guy strung me along.
Bernstein wouldn't give you an offer. Oh my god.
Yeah, they told me I was their number one. All this stuff started talking to me freshman year. Like came down, watched me practice twice. No offer.
Unbelievable.
No, I know. I remember that on the because I threw Drake in to that one list that I made, and Anna made a comment about that, and I think Drake's response was, I just didn't think she was going to be that good. I think that's what he said.
That's fine.
Go Bears. Go Bears.
No, but right? I think his point was that you proved him wrong and you outperformed what he thought you were going to do.
Yes. There you go.
So, hey, his loss. Athens is fun, though.
Athens. I loved Athens. Yeah, I visited and everything. Really cool place. Berkeley's kind of similar, I think. But probably a campus little wise. Grungier.
Yeah. A little grungier. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked about Drake making that, or you making that comment about me putting Drake in there. So you seem to have a pretty good vibe and online personality, Anna. You like to get in the mix with some Twitter comments here and there, some posts here and there. I just recently saw some video of you and Lacey Schneeman beating your chest or something like that. Tell me, she is on your current MLP team. I know you guys are YOLA buddies. What was that? I didn't really get to see all of it.
We were just getting high. We were just like kind of imitating Tyson and Rafa.
I see.
Just a little bit of jumping around like Tyson does, like some
barking, some
right. Right.
Round them up, you know, a little bit of that. I think Lacey and I were saying that as a team, I think maybe we should all on timeouts, like just stack the paddle the way Rafa does.
Oh yeah.
Me and Lacey are playing women's. We're just going to stack the paddles.
I love it.
Yes.
Right. You know, just stuff like that. That's all.
I think my favorite comment you made on Twitter was it was after the draft. Someone was breaking down like the teams and someone was talking about Manassi's team. And talking about this, that, you know, not the most talented, what happened there, da 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 da. And Anna just says, McNasty.
That team is McNasty. I have like a clown emoji and laughing face.
Clown emoji is so good.
Yeah.
So good. Clown emoji is underutilized.
It really is. You know, and someone actually told me the other day that he was, that he just said I was like a little annoying. And he probably didn't particularly care for that comment, for that tweet, but it's just like, I don't really care. Like, there were some names that should have gotten drafted, and you know,
I got a random text out of the blue from McNasty that just said, and I think it was in response to our podcast. I don't even remember what we said, but it just said, "Not a GM."
not a GM.
Okay.
Yeah, who knows, Robert? I think we both had a slight buzz in our last podcast.
So
I'm stone cold sober today though, so it's all good. It's all good. So have you, I know you said you only planned out half the year in women's at least, but are you do you have a number of the amount of tournaments that you're going to play or like a some form of schedule or total number, because that's been a big factor. We've talked about that a lot in terms of what's the perfect amount of tournaments. Is there a number or a threshold you get to where a burnout sets in? I'm sure it's different for every person, but what do you think about that?
I play like a ton of pickle. I don't think anyone really played more than me last year, like from when I started. So I think definitely some people played as much, like probably Federico and like J-Dub. But I don't think anyone played more. And so I'm kind of planning on doing that again this year. Right now I'm planning on playing. I mean, the PPA schedule keeps changing, but there's one I'm planning on not playing. All the MLPs going to play nationals. I mean, I think the US Open is a little up in the air, but I'd like to play. Let's see if there.
Do you know the story on that? Because last I heard was that PPA players can't play it. But is that not like final?
I haven't heard anything. I don't think, unless other people have had personal conversations, I've had no like official communication from them. So
got it.
We'll see. I definitely want to play the over under events though. I love
over-under
events.
Yeah.
I just love them. I had so much fun in nationals. I had a lot of fun getting called up last minute as a replacement at the US Open last year with Scott Fliegelman. I just think they're a blast. So
it's super fun. I wish more tournaments would actually just do that just for fun. If people want to sign up, great. If they don't.
Exactly. I think they're super fun events. Like I'm playing with Beth Bellamy and I'm playing against like Callie Smith and Eva Welcher and I'm playing mixed doubles. Like I'm the guy.
it's fun, right?
It's a total blast. And it's like,
totally.
Leia was telling me that she was watching and she just thought it was so funny, like watching me and Callie play mixed doubles against each other. I know, because none of us really know how to play. And it's just a blast. I think it's really fun.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've played a couple of those events as well. And yeah, she Anna definitely still has the bright-eyed pickleness. Sometimes that fades, but you're in the prime of your career here after that extreme first year, and I don't blame you at all for going full force for another year.
Similar to James, actually. Like, James is like, I love pickleball.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like,
Does he who likes it more, you or James, Anna?
Oh, James. And I'm
really
totally able to say that. Yeah, James, like,
obsessed
with pickleball. Obsessed. Always, it's, like, talking about it, thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
always some people, pickleball. Nobody watches more pickleball than James.
That's and great. See, it fades for some people, and some people it doesn't. It just It's real. Of course, I always label everything or compare everything to poker, but it's the same thing. It's like those people that play for a couple years, they're obsessed and they burn out. And there's the people that play for 40 years and they're just as excited as the first day. So it's different for everyone. But just wondering, you know, after that extreme schedule, if there was any possible burnout. But, you know, with the year you had and some of the results you've had, that also makes it easier to stay locked in. So besides
for fun when you win.
Yeah, that's for dang sure. For dang sure. So besides for actual on-court play, are you going to be working, teaching? Are you involved in anything? Or are you just full force, 100% pickleball on the court?
I just play pickle, really. Yeah, I do. Like, sometimes random things come up. Like, I taught a clinic after nationals with the pickleball form for women. So some random things as they come up, I'll do, but I honestly think I'm a really bad coach. So.
Well, it's good self-awareness because a lot of people that are good players are just like, they're like, well, of course I can coach, you know, because I can play.
But, yeah. Like, yeah. I think at a high enough level, I could definitely provide value just with, like, thinking and stuff. But with people who are like 3.5 and below, which is like most people who play pickleball and anything technical, anything, I have really no idea.
Cause we never had to go through that. Right. And it's like, you know, the first term I ever played was a pro tournament. So it's like, you never go through that, like that learning curve of like somebody that doesn't have a tennis background, that's most people that are playing pickleball now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could get better, but, we'll just see, you know. I think I'll go hard for another year, maybe two, and then kind of just see. I mean, I think the whole landscape is going to change, right? Right. Like, who knows if the pro game is really fully going to take off. I really hope it does, you know, with what the PPA and MLP are doing and kind of their plans and just everyone involved in pickleball. But it could also be the pro game kind of like teeters off and it doesn't. And, you know, the recreational side continues to grow massively, but you know, we'll see. I think some of these like MLP owners and investors in the PPA and stuff, they're going to start wanting some return on their investment too. So
100%.
We'll see.
Yeah. We talked about that with James and he thought the same thing. There's no real way to plan at this point. The changes are fast and a lot. So
but I tell you, if that report that came out today is accurate, it's pretty wild. The one, I don't know if you saw it, Adam or Anna, but 36.5 million played pickleball between like August 2021 and August 2022 or something like that. It's insane. When the last like highest reported, I think the prior year was like 5 million players, to have 36 million people that played at least once. And I think it was like 8.5 million that played more than 8 times over the past year. Like, that's wild. And I think we've talked about this before, Adam, like if the pro game does take off and viewership increases, it's going to be people like, the good comparison is golf, right? Like, if you play golf, you like watching the pros and seeing what they do and seeing how they play. And it's going to be similar with pickleball, in my opinion. Like, the more people that play are, you know, the more people that are going to want to watch the highest level. So I think if participation keeps going like it is, then the pro game should be fine.
I agree.
No, definitely. Yeah, it's just, you know, with the, you know, the rapid growth, it's just, we've talked about it being a bubble a couple times and how it could completely pop. It could just pop a little bit, or it could just keep going, and only time will tell with that. So, we're all in the mix, you two on the court, me outside the lines, but you guys know I love the sport, whether I'm playing or not, and I'm excited to see where it goes. So what would you say right now is your favorite event of the three, Anna?
Definitely not singles. Probably women's is still my favorite, but I actually have come to really like mixed. At first I didn't like mixed that much. I think a lot of girls feel like that at first, because, you know, for men it's like singles, mixed, gender. I think for women it's like generally like singles, gender, mixed, just because mixed is the game with like more nuance for us. But I've come to really like it. I think my forehand dink has gotten better. I probably prefer to play mixed on the right than the left. I don't know, just like carving forehand dinks, like being tricky, like getting the guy and stuff is really fun. I don't think there's anything more satisfying in pickleball. Or James and I had this discussion. It was like, I think for me, the most satisfying thing in pickleball is like countering on a man and like clean winner or winning some firefight, something like that. And James told me that his favorite is like when in mixed a woman like, you know, tries to do something sneaky, like something trying to just like kills it. Unbacked someone just crushes it. That would be his favorite. So kind of funny.
So he likes crushing women. Okay, James.
I think that poor Eric Lang has been hit by James like more than anyone, just like in mixed and men's, like watching our teams play at MLP, like, and then at TOC, like James and Maggie played Eric and Mary, and I saw Eric get hit like twice. Like James just happens to hit people a lot. Like me and James played South Carolina today, and he bagged like Andrea, he bagged Zane. Like he's just getting everyone. We'll get everyone. But if the girl challenges him up the line, right the two-y, it's going cross. So the man's in trouble. And
that's right. Eric's a big target.
He is a big target.
Great player, but he's a big target. Yeah. I don't think it's just players, meaning you, your favorite part. I think it's the fans as well. When the guy gets burned by the girl, the eruption is much different than any other point. So, that makes
like, see, that's what they get for like taking so much cord and stuff.
they love to talk about it. So, So I guess there's not really much of an off season in pickleball, but I guess we're kind of in the midst of it a little bit, even though there's pretty much tournaments all the time. So when big thing in poker is you go, you play a few sessions, and then you go back and you research, and they call it the lab. So you go play, and then you go back to the lab, figure out what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right, and then carry on. So for the lab, what have you been working on, or have you been working on anything specific, whether that's patterns, frequencies, or just new shots adding to your game over these last few weeks that you've been practicing?
The biggest thing that I'm excited to debut is I've actually developed, I think, a pretty good one-handed flick. Actually really good. I've been working on it a lot. I was actually about to completely give up on it, but Lacey came, we were practicing a lot, and I'm lucky that my dad was my tennis coach my whole life, and so he's still really happy to like feed me balls and just help me a lot and just kind of, you know, I wouldn't want to do it. I think it'd be pretty boring, but he's happy to do it for me. And so we've been working on that a lot. And I was getting Johnny Goldberg a little bit today. You know, he's going to sit here. I'm kind of getting up here.
I like it. The little off speed in the right armpit. Let's go.
Yeah. So I've been working on that a lot. And then I've been working on, you know, my defense is good. Transition zone is good, but a lot of getting better at that. And I've also been like continuing to work on the lob, but and earning on the right, but I'd say nothing. I haven't focused on anything as much as the
flick,
the flick, and in general, staying on the kitchen line better on the left side. Like now I'm not backing off the line as much. Reaching in and just like even volleying dinks with two hands. Cause I watch myself play and it's like, there's so many, I'm more comfortable attacking off the bounce. But there are so many balls that are very attackable that I just set up for myself and I just back up and hit another roll dink, which is a good dink, but you know,
right. But
that's
the
big thing I've wanted to add is out of the air on the backhand side.
The one-handed flick's a rarity in the women's game. So if you can get that dialed, that's going to be huge.
Picking the right ball and everything. Of course, it's going to take a while to get like really good. You know, Georgia can do it. Etta can do it. Leia can do it. I would say Lacey can do it as well when she's playing well. She's very good. But yeah, not a lot of people have it. I think we'll see more and more people have it though. you know, I think pickleball is going to continue to grow and get more competitive. And if you don't have something, it's going to be a problem. Like, I think we kind of saw that with Callie Smith this year. Like, she's a great player, but when she's on the left, like, she doesn't have too much offense on the back inside. She kind of has her little, like, kind of poke. But off the balance, she doesn't have it. So now you see her, she's kind of messing around with dinking with two hands. I know she's been working on it. So holes are going to really start to get picked apart.
Yeah. I think the best,
go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. I was going to say the best cross training, that I found for the one-handed flick out of the air is hitting just ping pong backhands, like table tennis. Cause it's that same motion. It's just that same upward roll. Mm-hmm. If you can just dial that in, it really helps.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I know, I think you're right about that. And with Callie as well, it's like, if you go at her at the wrong time and her two-handed backhand is shoulder level, then sure, she's going to crush it. But creating offense or kind of when the ball's at her thighs up to, you know, her chest, you're going to have to create something from that range. It can't just be a dink or a powerful counter. You got to have something to keep them off balance. And having that one-handed attack that's being hit 4 or 5 inches closer to your opponent is a really huge deal. And like Rob said, and you as well, Anna, not a lot of girls have that right now. So if you have that in your back pocket, you're just one step ahead.
Right. Yeah. Maggie Ramenzi also has it. I forgot to say.
Yeah, it is pretty good. And I know Jessie can poke it a little bit too.
Yeah. Her reach is so far and her wrist is so strong. It's kind of a little bit different, but it's still a good out of the air.
Yeah. It's a poke. Really there's not really any roll to it. It's just kind of a poke from her. And, but you're exactly right. She has very strong wrists, but, Jessie, she's pretty dang linear. There's not a lot of coming underneath the ball and rolling, and you know she's great at what she does, but there's not a ton of margin for error there. So I would definitely consider that a little more of a poke than a flick. But I'd say right now it's probably, you know, 4 to 5 or 6 ladies that really have a legitimate one, and if you have that as well, that's great.
And I hope we'll see. We'll see if I've got it. I hope I've got it. We'll see if I have to do it in a tournament, though.
Yeah, no, I know it's hard. It's a little easier when you're just getting the ball fed to you in the right spots, and it's not just the technique breaking it down. It's like recognizing the ball to do it on and when not to, and that's just time. That's just time. So we're on this topic of practice. So Anna, who is your kind of normal group? I know we've talked to a lot of people down in that area. I know the Wadders don't always like to play with the ladies, and I think that's kind of maybe changing a little bit. But who is your typical group? And do you guys just jump out there and just play, or is there a little structure to what you guys do? Maybe some drilling or some kind of routine that you guys have when you practice?
I would say there's pretty much no routine. The court situation here is actually not the best because so many people play, especially with snowbirds here right now. And so like last year on this time, you know, you could go to a park in the morning, you could go to a park at night in the evening, and pretty certainly you're going to get a court. But now it's not really like that as much. I think pickle's just gotten a lot more popular. So not much routine to anything. We had like this one spot with 4 courts that was pretty much always open in the mornings. But now like people have found it. So now there's other people up in there. It's kind of unfortunate.
No private courts in the area?
What?
There aren't. I'd figure Florida would have a bunch of private courts at people's houses.
Not too many people have private courts. There's one family with 2 private courts, and we play there sometimes, but not too much. But yeah, it's tough. It's not that tough, but it's a bit of a hurdle to like routine. So the normal group is definitely myself, James, Georgia, and J-Dub. And then like Mircha, George and Jada's mom, Julie, Johnny Goldberg, Regina. Regina works, so she can't always play. Millie Rain, Gabe Tardio when he's around. I don't know if he's back from Bolivia yet. So that's like the core group, but I'm at least not involved in too much drilling. I don't know if the Johnsons drill a lot with each other, but I generally drill with like my dad and I drove with Krista Gacheva a decent amount. She got drafted to the Challenger League, so she's around here as well. Sometimes I drill with Millie, sometimes me and James too, but it's tough to drill with James because I just feel like it's just always losing. And that gets a little draining as well, I have to say. Or sometimes we would play, we don't do this anymore, we'd play dink games. And it was like, I wouldn't even hit a bad dink and he'd just speed up the ball. I'm gonna lose in like two shots. There's nothing I can do, right? Or we're like playing dink games cross court and he'll like take something through the middle. And I'm like,
cheating, cheating, cheating.
And he's like, well, like I would do that.
but I would do that. And see, the thing is I wouldn't, but he actually would, because he would do that. He would just speed it up for whatever reason. So tell me a little bit. She's one of the only players in the whole player pool that I didn't know a lot about, Krista Gachiva. What is she, a newer player? Is she taking it serious? What's her background? I don't know anything about her.
She is taking it pretty serious. So she moved from Newport Beach to Florida, like I think around August, maybe, just related to work. But I think she's been playing pickle a little over a year now. Decent tennis background. She like smacks the crap out of the ball. She hits super hard, but just right now prone to like mistakes, I would say. She just makes too many mistakes, really. Yeah. But she's got the power and the hand speed. Just errors.
Yeah, no, I mean, you need the hand speed. So if you have that, there's always something to work with. That was sounds like someone on this podcast right now, Robert Nunnery, when you first started playing there, Rob. You know, you were a big fan of those head high dinks.
Yes, I was.
The one thing I remember, you were very good at letting the ball go early, which is a big indicator of skill, I think. And you always had the hand speed and the exchanges. So. I think your soft game's come a long way. So I think that's something that happens a lot with these players. Yeah. But having that hand speed, I would rather go that way than the other way, being very competent soft, but not having quite the hands in the counters. So having that raw ability with the hand speed and the power is just awesome tools to work with. So that's great. So now I know a little bit
about her. The Selkirk that I've been playing with, the 002, I think James is playing with the thicker one, the 002A. But the 002, it's like I'm having a tough time trying to dial in the softness of it and the recess and stuff, but the counters are so heavy. Like, it's so nice not to have to take a big whack at it on exchanges. I can just be really short and compact, and the thing's coming off hot. It's nice.
Yeah, you're not very compact, Rob, so that's good.
Oh, I am now. I don't have to take big swings anymore.
Yeah, I could take a little note from that as well, as I sometimes sometimes hit my back with my backswing. So that's probably not good. Timing has to be pretty good in that situation. So Anna, how about this? So what do you think about when you're on the left attacking the person's body in front of you more frequently? What do you think about that?
I think you're totally right. It's so funny. You just texted me that like out of the blue. I have thought that about myself for a while, because I'm always thinking about like, what side are they sitting on? I'm going to go to the opposite side. But I, especially against women, like most women aren't strong at the body anyways. Mm-hmm. Like
straight to the sternum.
So I don't know why. Yeah. It's just, I've been trying to do it more, but it's just like a habit to either go left side or right side. But I think you're totally right. I really do.
Right. It makes a lot of sense. We know when you're fresh and new as well, it's like, you're like, you see them leaning or you see them in a certain spot, then you think, I'm going to go line this time, I'm going to go middle this time. And then of course I have my roll dink that I'm going to hit as well. So I think that you're exactly right though. Attacking body on AJ Kohler or Deckel, you know, probably not the thing to do there, but a lot of those ladies with their big swings and how they come around the ball as opposed to this right here.
Right.
I think that, you know, having a quality attack, wherever it is, right hip, right shoulder, just maybe just flat out chest in general, and then look to clean up on the subsequent, you know, ball or two, I think is a really good strategy. And I think that's a big difference between the women and the men, where they're most comfortable countering from. So I would say maybe squeeze that in a little bit more in 2023 there, Anna.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Coach. That's a nice coach client relationship. I like that.
Yeah. No. So
I would love it if Adam would be my coach.
He would. All you got to do is ask.
Yeah. All you got to do is ask. That's right. So I mean,
ask and pay up.
That's the yeah. There you go. So that hey, that's the situation I'm in.
There you go.
I mean, that's the situation I'm in. I'm obviously a high end content creator and internet personality, of course. But I'm also a coach and a GM. So hey, I'm just throwing it out there. Somebody get at me, people.
Throw money at me.
What are you GM for? Is it?
The Hard Eights. Yeah. So I would say I'm probably SoCal Hard Eights, which is Riley, AJ, Lindsay, and Mary Brasha.
Okay.
So I would say I'm probably a little bit more team coach than GM, because I think the Hard Eights owner, Timothy Parks, is one of the most competent owners out there in terms of knowing about the players, player personnel, that kind of stuff. So I obviously gave him a lot of help in rankings and we talked a lot, but he is very capable of making decisions when it comes to drafting or player personnel. So it's been a lot of fun working with him. So
are you doing both seasons, or are you just the first season?
It'll be for the year. It is pretty exciting. And I think it's going to be growing a lot. And I've had some people reach out to me, just kind of like, I was thinking about getting involved in the team. Tell me about it. So I think it's really cool. So speaking of that MLP situation, let's chat a little bit. Anna Bright, member of the New York Hustlers. And that is Tyson McGuffin, Rafa Hewitt, and Lacey Schneeman. Tell me a little bit about your team, the vibe, what you think are some of your strengths, maybe some of your weaknesses, Anna.
My team is built around energy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't think anyone looking at a list for what's going to be the loudest team, you've got some pretty huge personalities on the team, and myself, Rafa, and Tyson, and Lacey gets fired up as well. Just a lot of people haven't seen it.
Uh-huh.
We'll see. So I think our strength is we're all almost everyone in MLP is a great competitor and everything, but I think that Lacey, a lot of our team is going to kind of ride on how Lacey is. So we picked the last female, and that was a really tough spot to be in. And that largely came down to my decision there. I have the input is different for every player, every team, but I had some input here and there. But the last with Lacey, they just let that be my call. And I was just frozen, and I can hear the time, and it's Hustlers. I'm oh my God, cause Lacey's my friend. So it's kind of between Lacey and Susanna and probably Sierra. I felt the singles was important. I felt we had a strong singles team and I wanted to maintain that. And I have personally almost lost to Lacey a couple times, and I have lost to her in mixed. When Schneeman is hot, she's scary. Some of the fastest and heaviest hands. And what you're saying, Adam, she's actually super strong at her body, very masculine strokes, gets the ball down really well. I think her and Georgia are the best at that. So I've seen her ball out, and I've played against Susanna a couple times at MLP, and I felt she kind of didn't play her best when it kind of counted. Jackie and I just kind of wrecked the Hard Eights and the semi, and then her and Lang were up 20-12 to put away James and Jackie and beat our team and ended up losing. So I felt if I'm playing to consistently make the semis or the quarters, I'm definitely going to go with Susanna with that pick. But MLP, you're kind of playing to win. You kind of got to swing for the fences a little bit, I think. And I think some teams did that last year and it was really successful. The Hard Eights with picking Sierra or kind of Rangers picking James but then you also have it not totally pan out with the five, kind of taking Ben Newell, that didn't really pan out as expected, but you got to play to win. There's not much money or prestige in making even the semifinals. So that was kind of the mentality with that pick. I love Lacey and she's been training a lot. I was really impressed with her this week when she was here. We had a lot of fun, hit a ton of pickleballs. We'll have to figure out what sides we're playing, right or left, because she prefers the left as well. And I'm honestly very comfortable on both sides. I think I'm a little more effective on the left, a little more dangerous, but we'll see. That's something we'll have to kind of figure out and iron out a little bit.
That's a good description. And I think you're right. We've talked about it multiple times, Rob, with the kind of the top heavy payouts and going kind of shooting for lightning in a bottle, as opposed to, say someone that's a little more solid. And us, and I think that we would have looked as the hard eights, with our, especially with that last pick in Lindsey Newman, if we didn't have the firepower that we did on the men's side, I think maybe we look for a higher ceiling, lower floor player than Lindsey Newman.
Like a Sierra or somebody.
Right, exactly. Like a Sierra who has a little bit more power, maybe some heavier hands, but less consistency. So team construction is so important and you have a rock or two already on the team, you go for it. If you have some firepower, real heavy firepower early on, maybe you go a little more solid with those later two picks. So no, that's good insight. So I have a tricky little question for you here, Anna.
Okay.
If the New York Hustlers played the ATX Pickleballers from 2022, who wins? So your team from – no, your team. Well, you weren't ATX Pickleballers, were you? What were you?
No, Ranchers.
Ranchers. If
Jackie, DJ, and James. Yes.
James, Jackie, you, and DJ versus the New York Hustlers. Who wins?
Okay, are the Ranchers like frozen in time?
No, we're talking now. I would say now,
right now, at this moment.
James now. It's mainly James.
James now.
James has improved a lot. Very recently, let's see, James and DJ. I think Tyson and Rafa should win men's there. I just don't think James and DJ mesh too well. Mm-hmm. Women's. It's hard to bet against me and Jackie, I guess, for sure. Yeah, so that. And then me and Tyson versus me and DJ. That all depends on DJ.
It does. Never know.
Look, I made her rub her chin. That's good. She's thinking hard.
DJ's really tough, you know? I kind of felt like at MLP this last time, like I felt like I kind of kept us in those mixed matches because it's like DJ's like throwing up a couple lobs a game or it's like I set up a great point and then I'm like watching him go for a drop volley and I'm like, no.
Slap it.
Like, oh my God, no, please. You know, but he also like really stepped up on big points, you know? But I haven't played with Tyson, but,
I mean, they're polar opposites, really.
They're so opposite. Cause I feel like me and Tyson are going to play some, if I play with Tyson, which is kind of what I'm thinking, you know, we'll see, but me and Tyson are just going to be like super grindy. Like
not
I can
a lot
play,
of nairs there at all.
Yeah.
Not
like I can play some really grindy mixed or I can play some pretty aggressive mixed and attack the male, but I think with Tyson, we'll just grind. So
yeah,
I don't know. It depends on DJ. I think that one's a toss up. I think Jackie and James versus Rafa and Lacey. I don't know. It's really tough. If it goes 2-2 though, the Hustlers this year are definitely winning.
Yeah.
Right. If it goes 2-2 and I think that would probably go 2-2.
Yeah.
I think it's likely that goes 2-2. So I think the Hustlers would win, but I think it's really tight. It could go either way.
Yeah, and on the note of MLP and just kind of how the matchups are, what's your thought on rally versus traditional? Because that's a big topic, and obviously you probably got that player survey from MLP, and I think they're obviously pushing rally. But what are your thoughts on rally versus traditional?
I think for MLP, I like rally, and I like it as it's been implemented. I think it's okay if it's not totally fair with the freeze, like. It's fine. It's fun. It's exciting. I understand the limitations on time. And, you know, it's nice as a player as well. But it's looking like, you know, with Steve Kuhn's influence, and I know Jill Braverman worked with her. So if that's the direction the PBA Tour is looking to move to, I think we need to think that through a bit more. I understood their point there for gambling. You know, 11-4, I think they said that could be like 51-44, or it could have actually been 11-4 when it comes down to rally.
But it's the same as tennis, right? It's like you could have a million deuce and add in, add out. And the losing player in tennis often wins more points. So I understand that point, but it's not super relevant in my opinion.
That's very true too. I see benefits and drawbacks, but I don't think there can be a freeze in normal tournament play. Like I personally don't think that's fair. It kind of eliminates, But then if you don't have the freeze, then it's really hard to stage like the big comeback.
Yeah, it's tough.
But I've watched a lot of volleyball as well. And they, you know, they really like to talk about volleyball. I went through a phase of really enjoying watching volleyball despite having never played it. And you wouldn't often see the score get to scores you see in MLP a lot, like 20 to 12. The score is usually like within two or three by the time one team reaches their match points. So I don't know. I think I marked unsure on the survey.
As a player, do you have a preference as a player versus like what's better for the sport or, you know?
Well, as a player who's resistant to change, I prefer side out and tournament play. I don't really want to let go of it. I think a lot of people probably feel that way. But as far as what's good and best for the sport, I don't really know. I think, you know, getting on TV more is important, and maybe Rally is a little better for that. Yeah. Maybe Rally's a little better for scheduling, but people say like side out is so difficult to learn, but my mom learned it. Yeah. And, you know, she was sometimes isn't the fastest to pick things up just because she's Chinese and, you know, sometimes like things like that confuse her, but she picked it up. I've seen a lot of people pick it up. Doesn't really seem to me like it's that much a barrier to entry. It's definitely boring a little bit when the score is 2-2 forever. Even as a player, you're like, okay, like, come on, this is the one, like off two. So I don't know what's best for the sport as a whole, but I like my side out scoring and tournament play. I like the kind of security it provides. I like that it feels like you can play a little more risky when you're serving.
Yeah.
Versus I think at MLP, I didn't hit one drive in the whole event, you know, cause I don't really personally think I'm not a good enough driving crasher. Neither were, I thought partners as well for it to be worth it. Cause in normal side out, if that's a 50-50 play for your team. Yeah. Right. Like why not
go for it? Yeah.
But in Rally, like 50-50 is not good enough.
No, it's not.
I don't think, unless you're like, I mean, Zane and Rafa, like BLQK was super successful.
Yeah.
But
you have to be good at it. Yeah.
Like, those odds are not worth it. So
they weren't quite good enough at it against the Jackrabbits, myself and Hunter Johnson. So just throw it out there. Anyway, continue. I mean, no one toots my horn. I have to do it myself.
I loved watching you play. In MLP, it was like inspiring. I think we were warming up well in your last match, like you and Hunter beat
Thomas and Chuck. Thomas and Chuck.
That was such a fun match to watch. I was like watching it. I wasn't even warming up. Like the match point was sick. You were playing unreal. I was like, that's Adam Stone. Like that's the guy I've been hearing about who's like a stud. But I was about the team play, but I was like, that's Adam Stone. Like what a freaking animal. Just like kind of waddling around, you know, but you're going like, lobs? Two lobs in that match point or something? Just a joke, you know?
The Adam Stone.
Wow, this man's a talent.
Gotta do it. Hey, well,
it's just a gift to the world, just a gift to the sport of pickle.
God.
Adam, your horn's being tooted hard.
Yes, this is our best guess yet. We've only had a few, but this is our best guess yet. Let me tell you.
I was just blown away, and it was such a shame that I heard you didn't get to play your last mixed, but I wanted to see it.
Yeah, well, hey, I'll tell you what, I'm feeling a little more healthy these days, so
I might just
be coaching G Him
for drop yourself to the Challenger League.
You know, like coaching G Him for 2023, I might be in the mix for 2024. Let's go.
I'll tell you right now, I would not give it a clown emoji.
No. I would not give it a clown emoji. Okay, good stuff. Okay, so I basically have one more serious question, and of course I have like 20 rapid fire questions we're going to do at the very end. And there's some good ones. I got one that I set you up nicely. I hope you take the bait on that, Anna. But my last question, we've talked about it a couple times on this podcast, is do you think, I think obviously there's a lot of strategy. There's lots of, chess moves being made out there on the pickleball court. But do you think that it will get even more structured with set plays? I go here, you do this, that kind of being really, really, really in tune with your partner and basically covering almost all situations, especially when it's all four players at the kitchen line.
I think men's will develop that way. I think men's will. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like women's is such a spastic game. I don't see that as much in the women's game, but I see it more so in men's. I think you see that with Ben and Colin. They're so structured and like so regimented. So I think men's could develop that way. You know, I think it'll be interesting. People say pickleball is developing into a faster and faster game. And I guess we see that kind of with Matt and Riley this year, but it'll be interesting. You know, as the paddles get poppier, James thinks men's may slow down significantly more, even as the counters just get better and better. Like you're talking about using the O2 now, Rob, and just the difference in power. Like, you know, you're not, if someone is sitting or can react, like it's over. They're just going to completely clock it. Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting the way the game goes. I don't see women's like not continuing to be a rip fest, unless just a whole different like breed of athletes come in that have that ability to immediately just finish points. Like pretty much all top men do. So I don't know. I think things will become more regimented on the whole, but I don't think it'll ever be perfect, especially not in the women's game.
Right. No, that's a great insight. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, you're just paying such a heavy price for, you know, not really good attacks in men's. So in women's, it's kind of start the fire and with a reasonable shot and then trust your hand speed and your shots after that. And men's, you can't quite get away with it. And you can see it in certain matchups too, where it's pretty dang slow in the men's. And then of course you definitely have the Zanes and the Rafas out there with that, or it's a little more hectic, but no, I think what you said makes a lot of sense, that it might get that way in women's, but it'll take longer and it might be here as we speak and sooner in the men's game, just kind of giving the skill sets of everyone.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Really interesting.
Rapid fire.
So are we going, you got nothing else, Rob? We're going straight into
fire. I'm excited for rapid fire.
I have about 10 or 12 rapid fire questions, but I have 4 percentage questions first. Okay. So I say the question, you say the percentage, and then the last 10 or 12 or so, it's just going to be yes or no. And you can't take too long to think about these. I know you like to think, but we're going to try to go quick here. Okay. What percentage of the time that you play will you and Anna Lee win gold in 2023?
80.
What percentage of the time do you pick the dinner restaurant over James?
20.
What percentage of the time do Rob and myself beat you and Anna Lee?
50. Probably okay. More. I haven't really seen you guys play too much, though, if I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
That was too lengthy of an answer and thought. We're moving on.
I mean, yeah, you guys would probably, I don't know. I haven't really seen you guys play much, though.
Comedy, drama, or action?
Probably comedy, but we hardly watch movies or TV.
White grip or blue grip?
Blue.
Sushi or hibachi?
Sushi.
Both.
Have you ever flown first class?
I've never paid for it.
Once chess or checkers?
Checkers.
If you were a GM, would you have picked Rob Nunnery over Gabe Tardio or Hayden Patrickwin?
No.
She hasn't seen me play. No,
yes. That was great. I am 5'8". Would you say I am over or under 175 pounds?
Over is my initial.
Oh, that's great.
5'8". Would you rather?
So you've got to be under if I think about it, but like that was the word that popped into my head. So I think I've got to say it if it's rapid fire.
You have to say over. You have to say over.
So okay, that's what I did.
So would you rather play pickleball against Catherine or Etta?
I'd rather play against Catherine.
Okay. Is pineapple on pizza acceptable?
I don't like it, but I don't have a strong opinion. People really fight over that.
Hamburger or chicken sandwich?
Hamburgers. I'm actually pescatarian, so I don't eat chicken.
Oh, wow.
A burger with a veggie patty.
Oh, yeah. I see. Would you rather visit Australia or Japan?
Australia.
When you go to the beach, do you prefer Jame in board shorts or a Speedo?
I'll say Speedo. I think you've asked me that before, though.
Adam, I sent you.
Why are you asking that?
No, I asked her that in the interview, and she thought about it really hard, and then.
No, because I was gonna make an inappropriate joke. I was actually gonna make an inappropriate joke earlier on this podcast regarding the flick. I was gonna say James likes to work on it in the shower. But
I set you up perfectly, Anna. You're supposed to say that's what you told me after the interview in Hilton Head. You said I was gonna say Speedo, but you can't.
But there's
see
not much.
Much
to see. That's what I was gonna say.
I set you up, Anna.
Yeah, you did. Dang no, you it. Really did. That's my bad. Yeah,
it's all good. It's all good. But
board shorts because there's not much to see.
Well, Speedo because there's not much to see. Like, you know, there's no bulge, there's no nothing. There's just a guy in a Speedo. Okay. All right. That's all I have personally. Oh, also, I was going to give you, just to open the floor up for a second before we end, about just some people that have helped you along the way or sponsors or anyone you want to give a shout out to.
Oh, okay. Obviously, I want to shout out my family. And shout out Yola Pickleball and definitely like Steve Kuhn and Joe Braverman. They like, you know, hired me to duper, which really was sick and everything Steve's doing. So probably those people. The Johnson family has been really great for me. I'm probably forgetting some people, but, and of course, Rob and Adam for having me on this amazing podcast.
Yes. Oh, I forgot I have one more question. So who's your favorite Johnson? Jack, Julie, Georgia, or J-Dub?
Or Hunter or Yates?
Oh,
it's not going to be Hunter or Yates, I'm afraid. I do think they're really nice guys. But, Georgia or Julie?
Man, Jack, that's what J-Dub said. Poor Jack, he's struggling. Jack Johnson.
I love Jack.
Jack is great. I love Jack too, but
he's not a picker.
Georgia, I love J-Dub a lot too. He's really come out of his shell a lot in like the last 6 months, I would say. And he's like a super, super funny guy when he's comfortable and stuff. Like him and James like have some just very funny conversations that
non-dick swagger. They both have non-dick swagger, you know?
Yeah, no, you're really, really right. And I mean, J-Dub had that one interview in Chicago that was so heavily James influenced.
Oh, yeah.
It was just awful, but it was funny. But it was like, me. Oh no, like it was like, oh, I think, yeah, it was with you. And I was just like, what has James done? Like, thankfully, I don't think J-Dub has done that again. But
he said poke balls, massage balls, and something else in 15 seconds. It was amazing. It was gold.
It was a lot. And I was like, wow, okay. Someone needs to get this guy away from James and Travis. I love it. I love it.
The first taste I got of J-Dub and his little personality that comes out when he's comfortable is, I think it was at LA last year, but he was playing the next tournament, I think, with Grant Bond. And men's doubles, Grant Bond, J-Dub. And Grant was like, yeah, we should win that tournament. And J-Dub just like looks at him, pauses for a second, and goes, Grant, I don't think your confidence matches your ability.
It's so funny. Like, we all really like Grant, but somehow Grant has just, I feel like, become someone that everyone like universally like drags. And I don't know how it happened.
Because James did it too on the pod with us. He was like, you know, Anna Lee would wreck somebody like Grant Bonder.
I know. Yeah. I don't know how it happened. I really like Grant, but he has just become someone that you drag.
He's that guy. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. That's why we love him. He's that guy.
I feel like that's happening to a few people too. You can like feel it happening in real time. J-Dub and James, like, and Dylan, like they love to drag Federico.
Love.
And I feel like they really like to drag Fed. There's like a few others, but actually, I don't know how that happens, but I'm glad it hasn't happened to me.
It's fun.
It is fun if they can take it, but I think generally like you pick people who can take it.
Yeah, Grant can take it.
Can he?
Maybe.
We'll find out. Yeah, we'll find out. So, all right.
Super fun, guys.
Yeah,
super
I thought fun. That was great. Great insights, Anna. Best of luck in 2023. And we will certainly be watching in person and on the live stream. So best of luck. And I think that's a wrap, guys.
Woohoo. Wrap. Thanks, y'all.
It feels right. Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary. Yeah.